Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm one of your hosts, James Dawson, while Tom Byrne is out this week. This year, Delaware lawmakers created a bipartisan plan to deal with stagnant revenue collections. Earlier, I spoke with State Senator Brian Townsend, who helped draft the plan, about what it means if the General Assembly punts on it again and what's expected to be a contentious election year. This is a pretty technical document when you look at the solutions that are presented. How exactly would you explain it maybe to one of your constituents?
Over time, Delaware has relied heavily on just a few revenue sources, and some of those sources now are starting to either dry up or just aren't growing with the rest of the economy. And so we've got to take a look at how to change our revenue structure so that it's sort of more on autopilot, so it kind of grows the economy and gives us the revenues we need. And it's not a matter of every couple of years having to do like a big change to this or big change to that.
And some of it would mean maybe reducing or increasing tax rates or getting rid of certain exemptions, things of that nature, right?
Yes, the council looked at many different aspects of the revenue structures, and we had an eye towards trying to make sure that Delaware is competitive with nearby states in terms of tax rates or different aspects of the tax code. We had an eye towards looking at Delaware's population growth and knowing that Delaware's population is aging. And we took a look at the fact that back in the 90s or early 2000s, when money was much more flush, there were certain kinds of tax exemptions offered for senior citizens. And now money isn't so flush anymore, and our state's getting older and older, and we need to maybe adjust the tax code, particularly in terms of means testing it, where if you are a senior who has higher wealth or higher income, this kind of tax exemption really doesn't apply to you and was never really meant to.
Yeah, and the report, it really does talk about Delaware's history with, quote, exporting its tax burdens, but with that, each silver bullet really has its own shelf life, and they seem to be getting shorter. We don't really have too many of those left.
Correct. Silver bullet is the term that was used in the report a few times. And I think part of the issue with the silver bullet is you might not know you have one until all of a sudden you kind of discover it. But the point is that we've been lucky a few times, whether it's the banking industry that started in the late 70s or early 80s and all the jobs and revenue that brought, or whether it's more like the lottery of the unclaimed property system, which has brought a tremendous amount of revenues over the years. The point is no one currently sees anything that's even a prospect, really, for a long-term major revenue source.
And barring really any improvement over the next few months, the General Assembly is facing a more than $100 million deficit for next year's budget, factoring in some growth there. Why weren't these changes made this year to try and address that? I know it was one of your priorities.
Well, the report came out in May, and I think that by that point in the budget cycle, the conversations were sort of had already been framed, and it was just a matter of trying to fill this year's budget holes. And then take a look in 2016 at making some of this more fundamental, very important change.
But do you think that's possible? I mean, given the history of these quick fix silver bullet options that that you mentioned, like the lottery, casinos, and unclaimed property that have been going on for maybe 20, 30 years, it really seems like at least over the past couple years that Delaware lawmakers have had a hard time making tough choices that aren't just patch jobs for the next year.
Yes, I agree. I think there have been sort of this culture of patch job that seems to have taken hold in the past couple of years. At least I've only been there for 2.5 years now. But be that as it may, we've really got to come together and kind of transcend that.
There were a couple piecemeal attempts to try and maybe implement some of the recommendations from the report. I mean, the Joint Finance Committee tried to take on one of them, which would have made some counties take over a little bit of state-funded services, but that was quickly amended out. I mean, is this too big of a lift?
I hope it's not too big of a lift. I think it's hard to say just because of how last-minute it all was, but I do know that there are very respected Delawareans who are not formally in the political arena who've talked with me in the past few weeks, and they've made the point that, hey, look, that the transfer tax was something that was given to the counties back when the state had plenty of money and the counties didn't. Well, now we're in sort of the opposite situation. And we've got to come together, again, as Delawareans across political lines, and as well as Delawareans across different levels of government, and really take a look at what services are being provided by whom and what we need to do in terms of changing our revenue structure to make sure that we have the revenues for those services.
You mentioned political lines. The GOP wants decreased spending across the board. You may say that that's just a political stance, but are you willing to compromise on that to get this revenue restructuring deal done?
Well, I think it's really important to dive deeper than just sort of a headline in a newspaper or on a website. In terms of decreased spending, what programs are we talking about? Let's get into specifics. I'm fully happy to talk about specifics, but first of all, those types of conversations typically happen among the Joint Finance Committee members, which are made up of Democrats and Republicans. But one of the things that was very disheartening this past year was to see sort of the political cliches and quotes in the newspaper about spending cuts without any kind of real examples of what we were talking about. And there will be an effort undertaken to take a look at state expenditures, again, in a council-type format, bipartisan, so hopefully that bears fruit. But I think that there's been this kind of drumbeat building towards 2016 elections and using these just cliches, and I'm not about that, and I think the voters aren't about that.
Philosophically, do you think that maybe Delaware could ever shift out of its mindset of, being known for its low taxes, even at the expense of cutting state services?
I think it's a difficult conversation to have. I've been very candid with my constituents when I've been meeting with them about kind of the trend in Delaware over the years and how we were blessed for so many decades to be a location for major corporations and employers, including the Chrysler plant, the GM plant, DuPont. So all those years, we sort of were able to rely on a small number of entities to provide a tremendous number of jobs. And I just think because of that, Delaware wasn't used to having to have kind of a more small business friendly, entrepreneurial type culture. I think we were able to postpone a lot of difficult revenue conversations, not only because of the jobs that I just referenced, but also, again, because of these major revenue sources that we kept finding over time. So I think that's led to a culture of not wanting to even talk about certain kinds of tax increases. And when Pennsylvania and Maryland and Virginia all passed revenue pack or infrastructure packages in 2013 or 2014, that was the time to invest. They did it. Delaware did not. We still have not passed the gas tax increase, and it's been over 20 years now, I believe, approximately 20 years. I mean, it's pretty stunning that that we're not being more candid with constituents about the importance of investing now. And I think that at the heart of this, to some extent, is a major generational shift where the expenses that we're taking on now, we're kind of shifting the burdens on to future generations. And that's a tough conversation we have to have as well.
What do you think will happen if those conversations don't happen?
I think the very short term is how do we fill another budget hole in 2016? The longer term, I just think it's underinvestment. I mean, when you're not investing enough in your school children and to make sure that there's a quality education and opportunity as we need. When you're not investing in your infrastructure, it's going to cost more later. And in the meantime, that and the schools, you're going to have fewer employers looking to locate here, less growth looking to happen here, more reliance on social services needing to happen here. I mean, there are smart government policies that we need to do a better job of pursuing. And unfortunately, it isn't so bipartisan right now.
That was State Senator Brian Townsend and our conversation about a plan to realign Delaware's revenue sources. You can hear an extended version of this interview online at DelawarePublic.org. Earlier this month, we told you how summer camps are keeping computer science on kids' minds during the break. Coming up next, Annie Ropeek will tell us how teachers are spending their summer preparing for new STEM classes next year. Stay with us. This is The Green.